Hi. Good afternoon. My name is Mary Laser. Actually, it's now Mary Prouty. I got married recently. I'm still getting used to Prouty. And I'm from the Open Source Program Office at Hewlett-Packard in Fort Collins, Colorado, the land of fire and floods. Floods this past week, unfortunately. I've been in Linux and open source for a long time. I have a 30-year career and have been using Unix since day one. So, been around for a long time. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about, take a little historical look back at the growth and success of Linux and open source and its effect on IT. And then we're going to look at power of open collaboration and the value of participating in open source projects. And then we're going to take a quick look at open source used at HP. So looking back, there is at the changing landscape of IT over the past 3 to 4 decades, we saw Unix running on mainframes, and primarily for specialized R&D or scientific types of applications. The emergence of a client-server market brought increased usage of Unix operating systems and the opportunity to create proprietary derivatives to take advantage of proprietary hardware. AIX, HPUX, Aegis. Anybody know Aegis domain on the Apollo system? That was one of my first ones. I loved it. And with the growth of the internet, Linux sprang up as a leader for commodity off-the-shelf hardware. It is now the leading Unix flavor, and it continues gaining share. And similarly, similarly, the desktop is no longer the single choice, the desktop OS. And now with the advent of the cloud, it is accelerating the development of open source, and along with it, the erosion of proprietary software leadership, such that over time, community open source versions will prevail over the proprietary versions. And what's driving all of this? Changes in the market, growth in profit, customer demand, competition. And with open source, businesses now have the ability to increase their development cycles with agility and to adapt quickly, the ability to manage risk and lower cost, and also the ability to leverage and simplify their software design. Well, you're not getting my slides. Let's try that one again. How long has that been going on? Now let's see if I can get this one. I can't advance my slides all of a sudden. Hang on. All right. Whew. Boy, that was not good. I think it is, yeah. This actually is not my laptop. All right, so we were talking about this. It's clear that over the past several years, open source is penetrating customer environments and at HP. First time IT organizations have talked about, in the past, adoption of open source because of flexibility, shorter development time, and faster time to market. It is significantly more than just free. It's pervasive and it's continuing to expand, and it provides a significant competitive advantage. Companies can no longer ignore its influence and its presence. This slide contains content from a Gartner open source software survey taken over the past 5 years. The amount of open source that makes up the responding organization's portfolio has increased from less than 10% 5 years ago to more than a projected 30% today. And in that same period, The rate of proprietary software has decreased at about the same rate as open source software has increased. However, internally developed software has increased also, suggesting that open source is used most often in conjunction with internally built software rather than as a complete replacement for proprietary software. And I know that that's the case at HP. In the open source program office where I work, we have, one of my jobs is to look at proposals from projects that want to incorporate open source into their products to make sure that they're using it in an accurate way and they're abiding by licensing and we're not releasing any IP we don't want to do, make sure they're providing source code or giving back when they're making changes. And it's amazing how many products at HP use open source today. It's just mind-boggling. I've been doing this for about this new position for about a year, and it's everywhere. It's pretty amazing, really. Looking at the growth of Linux, from this slide, it shows the evolution of computing from a perspective of devices that rely on Linux and open source as their platform. The growth of the computer market with the inclusion of embedded mobile devices is truly enormous. Just a few decades ago, you could count mainframes in the thousands. But with the growth of Linux and devices that run Linux, they have topped over a billion. And in the years past, as hardware improved, more storage, faster processors, more RAM, it was very much the case that Linux lagged behind for a couple of years. Linux software lagged behind for a couple of years. But with today's Linux, it already runs on all of the most capable machines, so that when mobile devices come along, they can immediately take advantage of that. So what you're going to continue to see in the foreseeable future is an increasingly expanding Linux footprint. Are we back to that again? Oh, there we go. Eben Moglen, who is with the Software Freedom Law Center, has a quote that says, "Open source allows people you've never met to improve your software in ways that you never imagined." And I can't think of anything more true. And this slide demonstrates three of those examples, where collaboration promotes innovation. Jim Whitehurst, from the CEO of Red Hat, tells a story about how the US Navy needed to improve their missile defense system. They wanted to use Linux, but it wasn't real-time enough. So it wasn't responsive enough so that it could recognize the threat and take countermeasures fast enough. So they wrote code in order to make that happen. And as soon as that real-time improvement was available, Linux was then fast enough in its response time to support real-time operating systems trading on the New York Stock Exchange. Similarly, folks in the server world wanted to improve utilization of their hardware, so they created these things called virtual machines. And with virtual machines, it required sandboxing for security purposes. And once perfected, mobile devices were able to take advantage of that security to put on mobile devices. And conversely, phones needed better battery life, so power was very important to them. Linux was enhanced with improvement to the power management system to stretch the battery life of mobile devices. And today, that functionality is used in data centers in order to improve their energy efficiency. So those are a few of the examples that talk about how the power of open source development is able to take an existing functionality and adapt it to a completely different need. And what are some of these open source success stories? Here's a few of them. And for every project you see listed up there, there are competing proprietary software products whose market share has been affected. So I've shared several slides primarily about the success of open source, and I'd like to talk about how open source can help you participating in an open source project. So anyone that caught Sarah's talk yesterday about keeping an open mind on open source will recognize many of the same themes here. Today's developer needs to know as much about what code is available from other sources as they need to know about writing it from scratch. And similar to your internal and external professional networks, developers that build their professional network across an open source community have a better in-depth understanding about the software, its architecture, its related projects, and its vulnerabilities. They have better access to the direction of the project, enhancements, and knowing the value of what the open source that's currently under development. And my favorite, you get to know who's who within the project, and so you know who to contact if you want to learn more about it or if you want to get something fixed. And all of those things together make you a much better engineer. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about open source at HP. We'll give you a brief history. We'll talk about some of the current open source activities. And then we'll also talk about HP's participation in FOSS communities. So back before 2000, Linux dedicated an open source and Linux organization made up of about 120 or so engineers with some very visionary leadership that included B. Dale Garby, who was once the Debian maintainer. And it was used to, it was used as a sort of a testing ground and a place to grow Linux and open source usage within HP. So during that time, before Linux, HP had decades of Unix testing expertise on enterprise servers. So naturally, we were able to apply that same expertise to testing and improving Linux on server platforms, particularly in the area of scalability, which translated into quality and reliability for multiple processors, network cards, large memory, file systems, and all the other goodies that go along with enterprise servers. HP was also the first to provide indemnification to their Linux customers, which insured customers against the SCOFUD that was going on in the early 2000s. We also developed reference architectures, basically cookbooks that told you how to install, configure, and integrate open source into a reliable and tested solution for long-term operation. And we wrapped support around that. We were the first to offer support for a JBoss MySQL solution built from one of our cookbooks. In the area of governance, as HP started using more and more open source software, we realized that we needed some type of a process to manage that. So within HP, we have the Open Source Program Office, which is where I'm from, and we also have an internal process that I described earlier where you have to submit proposals for what you want to do. We also built a tool called Fossology, which if any of you have been here in the past, we had some presenters here that were, he was a software architect, Bob Gobiel from Fossology, and I worked on Fossology for many years as well. And it began as an internal tool, but we open sourced it, and several companies throughout the world now use it. And so we're pretty proud of that one. And then today, we're very heavily involved in OpenStack. So other open source activities in HP include our internal process, which I talked a little bit about, and it controls both inbound use and outbound contributions. We also have tooling. I talked about Fossology, and we have some other tooling that helps to helps engineers to build a proposal and talk about how they're using open source. And it tracks what open source is being used within our products so that we can notify if there's any kind of vulnerabilities. And we provide a lot of training to our developers so that we're confident that they know how to use open source properly. In the area of project alignment, in the early 2000s, HP created a dedicated lab. That was the open source lab. And we created a program to provide central, cohesive, prioritized feedback and discussion with all the various distro providers. We had, at that time, we were testing several different distros on some of our large servers and on some of our workstations and on some of our laptops. So we were getting lots of feedback from all these different hardware businesses, and the distros are like, whoa, you're just feeding too much information to me at once. So we funneled all that into one program and began to prioritize, and were able to work very successfully with our distro providers. Current HP OpenStack participation is in the area of governance, licensing, contribution, and consistent pan-HP engagement. We also, in the area of community outreach, I think many of you know that we support a lot of foundations, we support a lot of conferences like this, we support with not only our money, but our hardware, and also we have several people that sit on boards and participate in open source communities. So participation includes leading, contributing technology, and sponsoring community efforts. For HP, this translates into real business results. For 15 years, HP has had the number one in position in units and revenue. And it also enables HP to use open source software in our own enterprise IT environment. There's a little over 300,000 employees at HP, and every day they're using Linux and open source because it's built right into our IT infrastructure. We participate in a variety of ways in the community, and some of those are shown here. Let's see, OpenStack, yeah. HP is a founding platinum member of the OpenStack project. We were the first large enterprise to join in 2011. We took a strong leadership role in turning the OpenStack program into a foundation in 2012. And this significantly helped to drive further adoption of the OpenStack. Currently, HP has two employees on the OpenStack Foundation Board of Directors, and we actively participate on the technical, the legal, the incubation, training, and compensation committees. So just a little bit about specifically what we're doing with OpenStack. We have a strong focus on helping OpenStack become an enterprise-class platform. We run our public cloud on OpenStack, and we've worked to enhance and secure security and scale operations in the stack. We're also one of the top code contributors of OpenStack, contributing more than 90,000 lines of code to OpenStack for the enterprise. Some other areas of community engagement include sponsorships and equipment donations and participation on committees and boards. These are just a handful of those. And finally, with respect to sharing of best practices, I have a few examples to share. The first one, which I spoke briefly about, is Fossology. Fossology is an open source software tool for open source license scanning. And it was initially developed, as I said, in-house, and now it's being used in several companies and around the world, actually. And we still use it. I use it in my job pretty much every day. The second one is FossBazaar. And FossBazaar was launched by HP and some other founding partner companies as a work group of the Linux Foundation to discuss, explore, and share experiences and cooperatively solve issues related to the proper use and governance of FOSS. FossBazaar is now under the Linux Foundation, and it's one of seven key elements of their open compliance program. And SPDX is the software. Does anybody know SPDX? No, okay. It's a software package data exchange. SPDX is, it's a means of describing what your what a package looks like, including its licensing. And the reason this is important is because as people are incorporating more and more open source into their products, you need to understand where it's coming from, how it's licensed. The SPDX specification will become part of your bill of materials, basically, for your software product. And HP is quite involved with HPDX. Later on Tuesday at LinuxCon in New Orleans, we will be leading a best practices session. And also the University of Nebraska at Omaha has started up a project there called Fossology plus SPDX, where they will be integrating SPX specification into Fossology so that Fossology spits out SPDX format. So going back to my first slide, I just want to recap that there is a new style of IT emerging, and it's ushered in by the cloud and open source software with lots of opportunities. Open source is everywhere. It's continuing to grow in both its use and its popularity, bringing many opportunities for learning, for community, and for contribution. So I hope that you all take this opportunity here to explore, exchange ideas, make contacts, and get involved with an open source project of your choice. That's the end of my presentation. Thank you all for coming, and I hope that you'll all think about coming to tonight's after party at Three-Legged Mare. HP will be giving away a laptop. If you need a ticket, you can get one at the registration desk. Thanks very much. Any questions? If you have any, I will be by the in the exhibit hall at the HP table.